You mentioned the VEGF receptors in the heart. Anything else we know about what the mechanism might be of how these arterial events occur?
No. And that's one of the issues which often follows proof of principle on a clinical study. Not all issues related to VEGF biology are completely understood, even in preclinical models. The role of VEGF, even in the cardiovascular literature, is complicated. And as you know, it takes multiple factors together in concert in a spatial and temporal fashion to develop new functional blood vessels, particularly in a structure such as the heart. While we know that VEGF is one of those factors, there are scenarios where VEGF alone, by increasing permeability, increasing interstitial pressure, may actually paradoxically decrease flow in some settings. And how inhibition of this factor among multiple factors relates to the development of new vessel growth is not known. The problem gets actually orders of magnitude more complicated when one realizes that how coronary events or cerebrovascular events happen may have as much to do with endothelial cell lining and the potential for the development of a nidus of clot, which may later embolize, as much as it has to do with the development of new vessels per se. And so all of these issues still need to be worked out, even in preclinical models. So obviously, how this relates to true humans is not yet known. And as you can imagine, the type of experiment to truly understand this is probably completely undoable.
It's interesting. I think a lot of people kind of looking at this might also kind of in their mind raise the question of, is this some type of artifact of the trial, statistical thing? We've seen now a whiff of increased cardiovascular disease using aromatase inhibitors in breast cancer, which people wouldn't have expected. We've seen it in prostate cancer with androgen deprivation. Maybe in some way that's a modification of risk factors, or I guess that's really not clear. Is it possible that this might just be some kind of statistical artifact or maybe sort of a correlate with a lifestyle change?
Great ideas. And it is plausible that some of this risk really is an artifact of close observation. I don't think that's the most likely explanation, in part because the data where many of these events were noticed were in double-blind placebo-controlled studies. And in general, the placebo worked. I think that's one of the key strengths of many of the first-line studies with bevacizumab. And therefore, the attribution of the physician with respect to whether the event was or wasn't related to drug really isn't counted. It's simply a counting of the events in each group. As you're well aware, how rigorously and carefully we can document the cause of a patient's sudden death, or even understanding all the risks for a patient who has an event, are not well known. And things like cholesterol, lipid status, family history, adherence to many other medication regimens, which are known to affect cardiovascular disease status, none of these are tracked well enough in the clinical studies, which were focused on cancer endpoints, to really know whether small imbalances in some of these other risk factors may actually explain this small difference, which currently suggests there is an effect related to bevacizumab. But you're quite right, with additional rigorous study in very large numbers of patients, this effect may either reduce or may even go away. Currently, I think the best practice is to presume it to be present, to be an uncommon effect, but one which should be discussed with patients. And where otherwise appropriate, patients who have cardiovascular risk factors should probably receive standard treatment to reduce those risks, unless there's a contraindication.
Just as kind of a barometer of how this is viewed in the adjuvant trials, such as the NSABP and intergroup study, what is this sort of exclusion criteria in terms of cardiovascular history?
In general, an event exclusion would be a patient who has such an event within a year of starting treatment. Now, whether or not a shorter window might be appropriate, whether a longer window might be appropriate, is not known. Given the survival benefit from this treatment in several tumor types, not just first and second-line colon cancer, but also now in breast and non-small cell lung cancer, we probably need to understand that there may or may not be small risks which need to be accepted. In addition, we really need to understand that it's not until there are large phase three studies will we truly be able to understand whether these little hints of something going on are for real. Small pilot studies are notorious for having little events suggested which are never later validated. I think one great example of that is in the early studies of bevacizumab, there was thought to be a significant increased risk of venous thrombosis. And in general, with additional time and study, we think that that risk is probably minimal, if any. The arterial vascular event risk does seem to be present and is seen across studies, although at a very small rate of usually 1 to 2%. I think this is an interesting case study in the lessons of clinical trials, our ability to understand very rare events, and also the need to do high-quality studies to be able to understand these rare events, including to develop management strategies.